Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Lots of art lately. I've been getting stuff done.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about, because now Sunday, the Women's Tour de France ended.
And right.
It was back for the first time. So that ended 4 solid weeks of watching the Tour de France for me. Some of it stitching, right. Some of it in the background while I'm working, and some of it just put my feet up and watch it, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you're doing this spinning thing?
Yeah, Tour de Fleece.
Oh, that's what you call it. Okay.
Yeah, it's Tour de Fleece. It's what you, because you sit and you spin on your spinning wheel while they're spinning on their bikes.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I would sit and, you know, I'm spinning lace too, so I'm spinning fast because I want it tight. So I'm spinning and I'm watching and spinning.
Now, is it you must watch it live or watch it whenever you can?
I watched it whenever. At first, I was taping it on Hulu on USA, and then I got Peacock and they do the replay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would watch it because it was on early in the morning, and I am not a morning person.
Right.
At yeah. all.
Peacock replay, no commercials. Thank you very much.
Yes. That is the best.
Yep. Okay. So when you do that, so you're spinning. So you just get a bunch of wool, and say, all right, this is what I'm going to spin, and you just sit there for the 3 or 4 hours or whatever, and just spin away.
Yep. I just go to town and watch it.
Now, is there there must be a group
it's nice.
Where people
it's soothing.
Share?
It's...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, on Ravelry you can join all
is.
Kinds of groups.
Of
you
course.
Can, yeah, you can join challenges. I mean, and I did way back when I first started this. I did a couple years. I joined like online groups and challenges, but it takes a lot of work and writing and.
Yeah.
I don't like to write. You know, like a lot of my Instagram posts too, there's not a whole lot of wordage in there. It's
right.
mostly just pictures and a little kind of a saying or something.
Yeah.
Cause I can write, but I just don't like to. I don't know. It takes too much effort in my head. So.
Okay. So did you get a lot done?
Yeah. I got a whole 4-ounce thing divided up, a braid divided up into two, spun into the singles, but I didn't ply them together yet because then I got this other almost 8-ounce braid that I divided up into two that I'm spinning, and I've gotten half of it spun and the other half I'm still working on. So, but I haven't gotten the plying done.
Okay.
Because then when I ply, I have a bigger whorl that's, that can hold a larger bobbin so that I can have a longer run of yarn without having to cut it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that works. All right.
Yes.
Yep.
So it was lots of fun.
Yeah. Cause you can, I mean, there's a lot of idle time with the bike racing. Yeah. You can spin for a long time, and then when Phil Liggett starts to lose his cool, then we know something exciting has happened.
I know, yeah. Right?
Calm down,
this
Phil.
This was
it's
an
okay.
exciting. This year was exciting. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It wasn't just the usual. Oh, this person's going to win again.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Oh no, it was a good race. Yep. And the women was really good too.
Didn't end up watching that one.
No, that was equally exciting. Yeah, it was really good. I was glad for them because I'd like to see the women have a legitimate Tour de France going forward because they deserve that. So
I did try watching one, but I like our other announcers so much. I didn't really like the commentators that much. I don't know. I couldn't get
Thank
into
you.
Them. I was like, you didn't like them either?
No.
So that's.
Now they need
most of it's listening.
You know, like Phil Liggett, you know, he can build up excitement out of paint drying.
Yeah, right.
You know, and these two just moped their way through it. They got a little better as it went along toward the end. But you know, they didn't give any of the background.
Nothing is interesting.
Yeah, and so there would just be these idle periods where they're just mumbling about nothing. And you know, how about some background on these people? How about, you know, why is this woman not keeping up? And you know,
right.
what's going on here? Yeah, and some of it, I'm sure, is they didn't have the resources that NBC and Phil Liggett and Bob Rohl have, because they didn't have a guy on a motorcycle and, you know, and those kinds of things that you get all that background stuff. But
right.
one of the cool things they did in the women's thing, and folks, this is about stitching, trust me, we'll get to that.
Right.
But, was that periodically, if it was something interesting, they would play the radio transmission from one of the team cars telling
right.
the riders what to do. That was very cool.
That was kind of interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
But then they wouldn't ever follow it up with
right.
anything.
Thank you.
Like, they couldn't follow it up. It
Thank
was,
you.
They just leave it hanging, and you're just like, ugh.
Yep. Thank so, you. Yes, exactly.
So that's why I didn't watch it, because most of it's listening, especially
yeah.
for me with my spinning. I'm listening most of the time.
Yeah.
And they were not enjoyable to listen to, so I was yeah. like, oh, sorry, ladies, but no.
No, I watched it. I enjoyed the racing. But yeah, because yeah, they get that information, then they wouldn't follow up and say, well, what would be the strategy here, or how would you approach this? And
right.
and they were supposed to move to the front. Well, all right, they've done that, but you know, then did they do anything with that? Nothing. No.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I agree. Yeah, the announcer's
yeah.
a little something to be desired. So, well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was because I thought about you during the whole Tour de France there,
I know.
spinning your brains out. So.
Yep, it's yeah. it's the thing we have in common that doesn't have much to do with stitching, but yet I do my hobby during it anyway.
Yep. Yep.
So.
I love watching it, and you know, guys on the bike forums will say, "All right, now after the Tour de France is over, oh no, it's Tour de France withdrawal now."
Yeah,
three,
I know.
3 weeks
it's like,
and
what do
nothing.
I do?
Yeah.
What do I do in the mornings for like 3 hours?
Right.
I have nothing. But that the Spain one. Tour de Spain, some Spain ones happening in August.
Yep, España, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll watch that.
The Vuelta.
Yeah, that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to be watching that too, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yep. then, ooh, I really liked Quinn Simmons. Oh, he was just on fire.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's so cute. Oh my goodness. And then how he was riding along and how they talked about how that double guy was there, and he's riding along, and there's a devil, and he's like, oh my gosh, I
yeah.
usually watch you on TV, and now I'm riding. And he did have that look on his face of wonder, like, oh my God, you know?
Yep.
It was so cool.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun.
It was
yeah.
fun.
Yep.
I really liked it. Okay,
yep.
so now on to
back to needlework.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's just, but it's neat to have those kinds of things
mm-hmm.
that you can do, and then have needlework be part of it. And
yeah.
enjoy it, and yeah, it's a neat thing. I mean, there's a lot of women who stitch and watch sports, and it's
yeah.
it's very common. Yeah.
Well, like the World Cup's coming up in November, in
yeah.
Qatar, and I usually, you know, ever since I lived in the Netherlands, I started watching the World Cup. So.
Yeah, can't get into that, but yeah, you spent time in that part of the world where it's a big deal.
And, right.
Yeah.
I and then when you go to other parts of the world, you travel, if you can talk a little bit about soccer, they like really like you.
Yep.
Like if you have a clue, they're like, oh, you watch football.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So. Yeah. I can't get into it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to travel with an editor. There was an editor who was at all the events who was a ref in the States here.
Oh, okay.
And we were in Germany at an event, and there were a couple of guys who had some role that, you know, it was a side thing, but anyway, they knew soccer. They were an integral part of what was going on in soccer in their towns.
Mm-hmm.
And this editor guy started telling them how things were to be done, you know, and just stepped right in it. 'Cause one guy finally just cut him off and says, no, actually that's not how it works at all over here. That's not how it's, it was just, oops,
right.
oops.
Yeah.
But, if you know what you're talking about, that's one thing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Europe and the U.S. do things differently.
Right. Well, that's what he stepped in was
yeah.
a completely yeah. different approach to things. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Oops.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I won't be doing that, but there's more bike racing to watch. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a GCN Plus, so. I can get bike racing otherwise. But
right. I think the Peacock will have that Spain one too.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
So I think they said, because they kept talking about it.
Yeah. Coming up. It'll be fun. Yep.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, and then you're just about done with the Sassy Jack's banding red thing?
Yep, I'm getting really close. I'm down at the part where I do my name, and my the capital J extends. It's not just an upper, you know, the uppercase extends down,
uh-huh,
like a lowercase would. You know how some capital letters, they keep it all up top. This one extends down. So I centered the Jenny, and then I was putting in Copaz, and then I realized that the long part of the J is getting in the way of the K. So I think I'm needing to take it out and reconfigure it so that that it's all as if it were on one line, but it's like two lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But centered as one.
Yeah.
So it fits better and it's more compact and not all stretched out.
Yeah. When that stuff happens there, yeah, you gotta look at how you can condense it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realize until I got it in and I was looking at it, I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. No, yeah, you sent me the picture of it there, and you get this big gap in between that just isn't right. And you could put some kind of border or something in that gap, but it's better off if you can offset and tighten up.
And it would
up.
Read smoother, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah.
So I think, I'll take it out, and then it doesn't take long, really, to do it. So I'll see if I can get an after picture.
Yeah.
Put them both in, you know.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's instructive in that, you know, once again, you don't have to do it the way it's charted. You don't have to do it
right.
the way you.
Or if the letters of your name don't make it possible.
Right.
Keep moving around.
Yeah, make some adjustments and make it so it looks better. Yeah, there's no rule that says it has to be this. Yeah.
Right.
And in the case of your name, with a long descending J and then a K with an ascender, you know, that sits up on high. You get a heck of a gap in between the ENI and the Copaz,
mm-hmm.
and, like way too much visually. And
right.
so, yeah, you got to do something to tighten that up or it just never looks right.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and you know, that's one of those cases where, when you stitch the name, it really doesn't take long. You fly through. I do anyway.
Yeah.
So it really is worth it to take it out and do it over.
Yeah. Yeah. Long term, you're going to be happier. Yep.
Right. And plus I'm running out of space at the bottom of my banding. I actually had to leave out a couple of rows.
Oh no.
Because, I didn't measure. I was just like, okay, I have this much banding and I'll just go, you know? And I left enough at the top so I could wrap it around like a spool or something for finishing.
Right, sure.
And then I just started and I'm like, you know, and I'm getting down to the bottom and I'm like, I think I'm running out of room. So I had to leave out a couple of rows.
Yeah.
And that's no big deal. It's fine.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it looks cool. It looks cool.
For sure.
Is that something Kim still has that you can do or was that a class?
It was that Red February free thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she has kept it up for free still. I don't know those.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because I did download it in February.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know.
If people are interested, we're checking out because it's very cool. It's on a piece of banding and use red thread and it's just a sampler. It's simple, but it really looks neat. So
and I'm using that that Sulky.
Oh, yeah.
The Sulky 12 weight. And it's something that I had already from whenever I did a quilting project with the red stitching.
Uh-huh.
You know, that red work quilting.
Right.
Where you embroider the design. So that's what I had it from. So I already had it.
So you just had to buy the banding and the... In the chart.
The banding I had already too from something else that I had started. Yeah, so I didn't have to buy anything because I had it all.
You win.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I've got all that stuff. So, you know.
Yep.
I didn't have to spend any extra money.
Look at that. Can't
be trying hard. Trying hard to do. We have to get the bathroom replaced.
Ooh.
The bathtub because there's a leak.
Oh, no.
So, Yeah, so we're getting it completely gutted, and I'll do the I'm gonna tile the floor myself.
Uh-huh.
And I can change out the vanity and stuff myself.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive.
Oh yeah, bathrooms are
expensive.
It almost doesn't matter how big the bathroom is either. It's expensive, yeah. Yeah.
It is. And it's because they have to completely take out the whole shower, tub, yep. tile.
Yep.
And yeah,
I know we had three bathrooms in our Illinois home, and we took all three of them down to the joists and studs. And yeah, I know what that costs. Yuck.
Yeah. So we just signed up for that. So I'm like, oh, save the money, the money.
If I was envious, I'd say so. That is not pleasant. Not pleasant.
Yeah.
Yep. So well, but anyway. You'll have a nice bathroom with no leaks when it's done. So.
Yes.
So to be said for that. Okay, yeah. We got to get the
announcement. It's a bonus.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. It's a bonus for me if I don't have to buy anything, because I'm like, okay, scrounge around in what you already have and figure it out, because, you know. Yeah.
And shocker of shockers, you have plenty, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have as much as a lot of people, but I do have stuff.
Yeah.
And it's even, you know, it's even stuff that was for a whole different hobby.
Hmm. Well,
similar, you know, quilting.
Right.
Similar. Yep. It's still fiber and thread, but it's not what I didn't buy it for stitching.
Yeah.
Well, not cross stitching.
But it works. So
yeah.
Worth it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Tonight. Oh, I'm excited about this tonight, because it's been a long time since we've been to the Embroiderers Guild Galleries, Gallery 76 in Sydney, Australia, for a tour. And so April left. April, who was the curator there, she and her husband, I think it was her husband, moved. He didn't move. Let me get this right. Her husband got a new job, or his job moved to the UK.
Oh.
And so then they, you know, they moved, obviously.
Oh, wow.
And, so, yeah, you talk about Australia to the UK. Yeah, that's no small thing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So then Catherine Gibson is April's replacement.
Okay.
And so April set it up so we could continue when she left. You know, she didn't leave us high and dry. She let me know, and she kind of brought Catherine into it and so on and so forth. But I didn't want to push it, because I figured it takes a while to kind of, at least in my mind, to get your feet under you in a situation like that.
Right.
Where you're trying to come up with exhibits and so on and so forth. And so Catherine wrote to me, a couple months ago, wondering about getting this going again and what was involved and so on and so forth. So so we're all set up. So Wednesday tonight, during the stitch hour, now they have their, I think it's a 2-month festival of gold work.
Oh, okay.
Exhibition. So then Catherine will take us through that exhibition, and she's going to try and get someone who is a gold work expert, we don't know if that's going to happen or not, but regardless, we're going to get to see gold work exhibition tonight.
Nice.
And then I'm hoping that will be the first of getting back to regular monthly tours of their exhibits, because there might be one that I was kind of so about, but other than that, I thought they're just fantastic, every one of them.
Yeah, yeah, those are really fun. Yeah. So I wonder what April's going to get involved with in England.
I don't know. I follow her on Instagram.
There's the Royal School.
Right, right.
And
yeah, she gets involved in something. Well, that's the way we left it. You know, if she gets involved in something needlework-wise, we would connect on that. So I hope so.
She can get into all kinds of trouble over there.
I know. Yeah,
a lot.
Yep.
I'm excited to see if she stays, because she's mostly like an art. It's
right.
She's like a museum art thing.
Yeah, that's her thing, not necessarily needlework. Yeah.
Right, but still, they've got a lot of it over there. So
there's just a bit. Yep, just a bit. So, so that's tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. You'll get to see some gold work, the gold work exhibition. In Australia, Sydney, Australia, Gallery 76. And as we've said 1,000 times, you know, Australia, not everybody can get there.
I know.
So yeah. We get to see that. So that's going to be fun. And I really do hope that can become a monthly thing, because I really enjoyed those. So
yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
And then Sunday, Shayna Ben-Hayoun will join us for the second time. The last time we talked to her, she was just starting to design painted canvases. And so that was 4 years ago.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, I know. I literally had forgotten we talked to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I'm sure I've listened to it, because I've listened to them all, but that's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now she has a store. She opened a store in Miami. Yeah. So, and she's just a hoot to talk to. She's a lot of fun. So we had we get the new store, SBT Stitches is the store, beautiful store. So we talked about how she got there and how it's set up and everything. And really interesting stuff. So, that's nice. Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was down visiting in Sarasota, I had just, looked, I didn't go to any stores, but I just looked on the map to see what was there.
Yeah.
And they did have a few needlepoint stores, mm-hmm. but they didn't carry cross stitch stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was basically painted canvas stores.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the thing most areas in Florida down there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yep. Well, hers is all painted canvas. I don't know that she even has any charred stuff. I mean, it's just different worlds, different people.
Mm-hmm. Know, what goes for one area is different for another.
Yep.
And like not a lot of quilt stores either.
No, really?
Nope.
I would think there would be plenty of quilt stores. Of course,
I know, right? Because you're in the AC all the time. It's got to get a little bit chilly inside, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. Oh, you know what's weird is like the few quilt stores they did have, they would be open only like 3 days a week for like maybe 5 hours.
Really?
It was crazy. And they're renting retail space and stuff, and they're hardly ever open.
Hmm.
And I was like, what? That's weird.
Well, you were down there in the heat of the summer. Is that?
It was like all the time, though.
Oh, it wasn't like our summer hours and our winter hours. We go crazy. Oh,
and the grocery stores close at 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
Huh.
I was like, dang, that's because, in the Netherlands, the grocery stores will close at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Netherlands. And, they're not even open on Sunday unless you're in a big town.
Yeah.
But, they're close at 9. Bizarre.
Hmm.
Very different.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hmm.
Anyway.
There we have it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yep.
Yeah.
So we have that. And then we have the Mystery in Saint-Tropez project that is underway. I'm still waiting to get my threads from Needle in a Haystack, but go to gayannrogers.com. And start your journey if you want to do that project with us. And as soon as I get my threads, and do you have your threads yet?
Well, I remembered that I had some canvas that a friend of mine gave me.
Oh.
And then I was like, I really looked at the list of what's required. And instead of using the variegated silk, I have tons of variegated DMC.
There we go.
So I'm just going to piece. And then there's like Pearl 5 and Pearl others. I have tons of Pearl 5, for my tamari.
Yeah.
So, and then I have.
Yeah, you would have a supply, wouldn't you?
Right. And then for like the silks, I do have some different like rayon threads and shiny threads that I used in quilting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a ton of stuff. I'm just going to piece it all together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make something work.
Okay.
Because
you and Cindy from Stash, all right.
I need to save the money. So I am piecing it together from stuff that I have.
Hey.
And we'll just see what happens.
That's the idea for this project. So you and Cindy are doing it from Stash. Beth is doing the whatever combination Kathy has that sells the least.
Ah, okay.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing one of the Congress cloth ones.
Cool.
So, okay. That'll be fun. So as soon as we get our materials, we're going to be off and running on that. That'll be fun. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got these three smaller pieces of canvas, and they're like a really light pale yellow, and I think maybe a blue and a green, but super, super pale.
Uh-huh.
Kind of springy color looking.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll just
yeah. That's part of it. That's part of it. Figuring it out. Yep.
Yeah. So mine may look really bizarre with wild colors. And who knows? I really don't know.
Hey, let her ride. Let's see what happens. Yep.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm going to do the doodle cloth. I'm going to stitch the components on doodle cloth and then decide what I want to have in the final piece.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to take that approach. We'll see. But
yeah, that'll be fun.
Got to get materials. So,
yeah.
Yep. We were talking before we started recording, Anne Frank last week, our Sunday guest last week.
Yeah.
And basket weaving.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And how she's had to cut back on that because her hands hurt because it's just hard work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we were talking about stretching and doing the things that you should do so you can not get tight hands and tight arms and shoulder problems and arthritis. Well, sometimes that can't be helped, but but it's interesting. I'm terrible about it, but like for cycling, one of the things that happens with cycling is your hamstrings get short because the motion, and one of the key things is to stretch those things out, and I'm terrible about it. And if you don't, over time, you'll start to have knee trouble and hip trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm
can just hurt yourself, too.
Right. Well, yeah, you put strain on things that shouldn't be strained.
The likelihood of pulling and hurting a muscle is way higher.
Yeah. So I'm currently in a phase of stretching hamstrings regularly because I was, I got pretty lazy about it. Because I just like to get on my bike, come home, get off my bike, and move on. And
well, it doesn't take long.
I know.
2 or 3 minutes of stretching, Jennifer, before you start. I mean,
and I don't do it. I know it doesn't take long. And I know the more I do it, the less time it literally takes. I know all those good things.
And I mean, you know how when you're standing in the kitchen and you're waiting for the microwave to heat your coffee up? Mm-hmm. While you're waiting, stretch your quads. Lean over. Stretch your hamstrings, you know? Put your leg on the counter. Give it a little stretch. That's what I do.
I know.
Right? Yeah, not a problem.
I know.
Seriously,
I don't do it.
Just little times like that. Just give it a stretch. As you're walking, do one of those really long walk steps that kind of stretches your the front, the back, and the side. And give it all a good stretch. Do weird walking across the room. And stretch as you walk.
Okay.
Like a lungy stretch walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those hip flexors
in the front, those are important. You got to stretch those.
I know. That's another thing that gets short with cycling. Yeah.
Yep. Because if you get the tight front hip flexors, that leads into the lower back pain.
Yep. I know. All those things, and I don't do them. And
yes.
It's a habit thing. You know, and
I think
that's what it gets down to is it's a habit thing, and if you make yourself do it, and then after a while, you almost don't feel right if you don't do it, and you keep doing it. But, you know, and I wonder how many needleworkers have shoulder and elbow and back issues.
Hand. Fingers.
Yeah, all those things, just because they don't take those few minutes to stretch, to get up and walk around a little bit. Any number of things that get you out of that, in I'm sure many cases, horrible sitting position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that's good is like when you're laying in bed before you get up, stretch your arms out really wide, like lay on your back, and it stretches the whole front of your chest and along the front of your arms, which tends to get really tight from pulling your arms forward.
Yep.
Stretch it and then stretch your hands out in a big star, like jazz fingers. As big as you can and stretch and then relax. And, you know, do that a few times.
Yep. Yeah, see, I was taught
basic stuff like that. Yeah,
for opening up the chest, put your arms up like goalposts in a doorway and then push your chest through the doorway.
Yeah, there's that one too. And I've done that. But this is, you know, I'm talking about the lazy person stretching.
Okay.
We're trying to help the people who don't want to go to all the trouble of getting up in the doorway.
Okay.
Yeah. So something you can do in bed before you even get up.
Yeah. Well, that would be, yeah, that would be lazy. Yeah. If you don't even get out of bed to do it. Yep. That's
right.
That's right on
and
that end of the spectrum.
You can stretch your hamstrings while you're laying there. You lift your leg up and grab wherever you can on your leg and pull towards yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Ask me how I know how to do all these bed stretches. Because I lay there and I'm like, oh, I need to stretch before I get up. You can do twisties. I'll lay in bed and sometimes I'll stretch for like half an hour before I ever even get out of bed. Stretch my neck. Because you're nice and warm and loose, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's the perfect time.
Okay. I don't think I'm doing that. I think I'll get out of bed because Margaret would just whack me.
Nah.
Go do your exercises elsewhere.
No.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, we bring it up every now and then that, you know, stretching and moving around when you're stitching so that you don't get those repetitive use issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were telling me about acupuncture. I've never done that. That's amazing stuff, huh?
Yeah, we were talking to somebody recently who liked acupuncture better than massages.
Yeah, and I don't remember who that was. Yeah,
I know, because it really does work. I had sometimes you get, like, usually older people get these little bumpies in their wrist, and I forget what it's called, but it's like a little sac will swell up, a bursar.
Yeah, bursar sacs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I had that happen to me when I first started exercising. And I was doing like a lot of planks and push-ups and stuff, and it was really hurting. And so I went to my acupuncture, and I was getting my regular acupuncture for my shoulders and my neck and my migraines. And I showed her that, and she's like, oh, she put the pin up, like up by your elbow on your forearm, but closer up by your elbow. And it melted it away. The problem went away. It's never come back.
Really? Really?
One treatment. Made it completely go away. Huh. It's like magic.
Yeah, see, you know, and I was brought up to believe basically that's just quack medicine.
Oh,
but,
it's amazing.
So many people talk about that, you know, those whatever they do with those little needles, and it just calms the nervous system.
It hits a pressure point. And then if I start getting, you know, then it's like, okay, I'm going to start rubbing there. And it's like a muscle. It gets too tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all gets tied up there, which leads down into your wrist. And
yeah. Well, I'm tempted to try that because there's got several places where I wouldn't mind if they just relaxed a little bit. So,
And then I had overstretched my Achilles tendon on
one of
my ankles. Yeah, and what it is, so you overstretch it, but then also up high in your calf, right up behind your knee, kind of off to the side, mm-hmm. she put a needle in there, and it relaxed that muscle, and it really like made that pain go away. So when I get that, if I start getting it again, I get out my foam roller and I foam roll that area.
Oh.
And you feel it hurts, it's tight.
I hate those things.
If you relax into it,
I know, but it still hurts.
I know, but it makes the pain go away. It fixes the problem.
Yep, I know. I have one.
And I did that for my arm and my shoulders. And
yep.
So it's, you know, all those things are stitching related because.
Yeah. No, it's just really important that people do that kind of thing, especially if you sit for hours and stitch. You really got to do those kinds of things just to. Your body needs to move more than one way all the time.
Yeah, and my spinning, my sitting for hours and spinning.
Oh, I'll bet that's one.
I'll get behind my shoulder blade in the middle of my back on one side. We'll get tight. So I definitely have to, you know, do some yoga stretching, child's pose and stuff, and just move my body other ways. So I've started doing my Pilates and yoga again.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I did yoga
for a while. Just bought a CD and did that for a while. It looks like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing result.
Yeah.
Obviously, you get more flexible and stretch more, but the overall mental and physical result when you're done is quite amazing. And it's not like you don't feel like you're doing anything Then when you get done, you just feel amazing. Yeah, it's really, let me see if I can say amazing more in one sentence. But no, it really is. You just don't expect it. And I suppose that's, you know, acupuncture, same thing. You just barely, you're putting these needles in and all of a sudden I'm a different person. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the very first appointment I had, my shoulders and stuff were all so tight and stuff. And, you know, I went in for migraines because when I was still getting my really bad migraines, mm-hmm. I don't get them that bad anymore. So I stopped going. And, but she put the needles, I was laying, you lay in a massage table and your face is in the massage thing, you know, and you're laying there and she put the needles all over where she puts them. And then I was laying there and I thought I was all relaxed and my shoulders were relaxed. And then all of a sudden it's like, foomp, they foomped forward and you could just feel the release.
Really?
This huge release. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was amazing. Amazing.
Huh. Just because of just putting the needles in the right spot.
Yep. Yeah. And just you lay there and you just breathe and you just take a nap, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because I laid there for 30, 45 minutes. I mean, it was nap time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So all those little things that I just think, you know, we keep reminding people, do them because they're good for you.
Yeah, they do. And they help and keep you feeling good and your hands and
because
I know my hands, I have to remind myself to, you know, stretch my hands because they start getting tight and crampy, and you know, pull your fingers back, stretch them.
Mm-hmm. Yep all those things worth doing. Yeah, so
for sure.
And consistently, that's where I'm terrible, is the consistency. I gotta work on that.
I stretch every day. So.
I can't claim that. I have a sister who stretches. She won't start her day without a full stretching routine.
And that could take an hour and a half.
Yeah.
If you do a really good, full, proper stretching routine, it's an hour, hour and a half. But oh my God, it's amazing.
Well, you know, I read somewhere a long time ago, and I don't know if this is true, that you can almost literally get yourself into shape just doing stretching.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, just, you know, really get fit, muscle tone and everything just by stretching, because it works everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of Anne Frank of Crossing Centuries, Sunday's guest, she made available a free download for us called Ode to the Gourd. And the gourd is a pumpkin. But it's a nice little saying in a house and a pumpkin, a nice fall thing. And you can download that, wetalkfiber.com/gourd, G-O-U-R-D, will take you right to her page where you can download it. And then I saw on Instagram someone asked about a DMC conversion. And she said she was going to put that up. So she'll put that up on her Instagram page. And you can go to the show notes for the podcast Sunday, and that will give you her Instagram page. But if you just... if you look for Crossing Centuries with a hyphen in between, you'll find it on Instagram. So she was going to put up a conversion for DMC for that. But anyway, it's a free download, wetalkfiber.com/gourd, and that takes you right to the page for downloading it. And then, of course, go to the home page because she's got some really neat samplers there.
Right.
Free little chart that you can download and stitch. And there'll be a picture. I used a picture on Sunday, and I'll use one with this show so you can see how she finished hers into a little pillow. And
It's cute.
Yeah.
And the way she has the needle. That's one of those. It's one of those bulb safety pins that has the bulb on the end. That's what's holding the buttons there.
Right. Yeah.
At first, I thought it was a thread coming out of the needle. The needle was in there.
No, it's a safety pin holding buttons on. Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has that 1803 Ohio Farm Baskets Instagram too.
Oh man, those she baskets. Uses,
I know. She uses both.
Right.
She posts. So. Yeah. Because I looked them both up.
Those baskets are beautiful, man.
Yeah, I know. And I did that basket weaving class at the Celebrations of Needlework.
Uh-huh.
So I did a little tiny one. I'm not even done with it yet. I have to finish. It's sitting over here. I'm looking at it. I need to get it out and finish it. But it is like, it's hard work. on your hands and your fingers and stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
I had sore hands after that class.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got your attention, huh?
Yeah. So, but it is fun, but yeah, you got to want to do all the work.
Yep. So check that out. WeTalkFiber.com/Gord is the free chart from Anne Frank of Crossing Centuries. You'll want to download that. And when you finish it, post somewhere or send it to me and I'll put it up on the Wednesday show so that people can see what you did with it, how you interpreted her chart. Very, very cool stuff. Wanted to get this one kind of a downer thing, but we have to call attention to this. Trish Burr sent an email to her list just the other day. Alisa Handicrafts on Etsy is apparently basically stealing Trish Burr's designs.
Oh, no.
And putting them up for sale on Etsy. And, of course, that's copyright infringement and illegal and all the things that,
right.
And of course, just generally bad form.
Right.
So stay away from Alisa Handicrafts on Etsy. And, do not support those kind of people because they hurt.
Right.
They hurt the designers. The designers, if they can't make money off of their design work, they're not so inclined to do it anymore. So,
yeah.
And I don't blame them. So Alisa Handicrafts on Etsy is one to stay away from. And if you ever see any designer work that's clearly been lifted, let the designers know and let the platform, whether it's Pinterest, there's your cesspool right there. Instagram.
I never got involved in Pinterest.
I set up an account. I used to early on when we were doing podcasts, I used to include the Pinterest account for the designers. I just became aware of so much copyright infringement that I just don't even, I quit doing it a long time ago. I I don't use it. I find it very difficult platform to use anyway, but I don't support that. And they are not aggressive at all, in my opinion, to protect copyrights. So,
I never tried it. I wasn't interested.
Count your blessings, Jennifer. You're fine.
I escaped that one, huh?
Yep, dodged you're fine. Alisa Handicrafts with an S on the end on Etsy, lifting Trish Burr's designs and making them her own and selling them. Do not support people like that.
Nope, bad.
And then last Wednesday, I talked about Ocean Conservation Namibia. And it's a group of guys, and I have not read the history behind them, because it doesn't really matter to me, but it's a group of guys who put up a ton of videos where they go out on in Namibia, the ocean shore. There's a peninsula or two that they work in, and where Cape fur seals come ashore, and they identify seals that have gotten themselves tangled in fish line and netting and rope and package banding and all kinds of things. And they have a system where they chase these seals down and cut them free. And it's amazing work. It's heartwarming to watch because some of these seals, there was one I watched the other day, two baby seals had gotten entangled in this massive bunch of netting, like big rope netting. And one was dragging the other. They thought the other was dead. And so they chased them down and cut them free. And the one that they thought was dead actually was in decent enough shape to go back into the water and be able to hunt. And so they saved that one from sure death because you could tell it looked pretty ragged. And then the other one wasn't nearly as entangled. But they just, it's amazing work that they do. And I actually think I'm going to send them some money to support their cause. And it's hard work. I mean, they're out there running in the beach, running on the beach, trying to catch seals before they get back in the water. And then the tools that they have, and they film all this with cameras and GoPros, And mm-hmm. so there's, you really get to see what's going on, but you get a real sense of what happens with all the trash that people throw in the ocean.
And, right. That blows in or, right. you know, because right. it escapes. I mean, I've seen the recycle truck driving down the road with stuff flying out because right. it's yeah. full and it's escaping.
Yep. But fishing line, like entire reels of fishing line and then it gets tight and they have to dig it out yeah. of the fur and it cuts into their Aww. Bodies and it's terrible stuff.
So you know, when you throw, like you say you buy soda and it has those rings or anything right. that has those rings, I yep. cut before I put it in the recycle yep. or the trash or wherever you put it. I cut all that stuff. So there's no hole that any animal can get its head in.
Same here. Cut
and
every
also
one of them.
Those.
Yep.
Yeah, those the bag handles, yep. those twine. Well, it's not twine. It's that twisted paper.
Yep.
The twisted paper that goes on those paper bags, those handles.
Yep.
I cut those. I cut everything because I'm like, some little animal is going to stick its head through there and it's not coming out.
Yep. And even though, yeah, and even though it's going to recycle, like you said, stuff flies
fly out
of trucks.
Yeah.
And, yep.
You just never know. What if the recycle truck has an accident and it just ends up all over the place?
Yep. Yep. No, I'm with you. I cut those too. And if you, the one place I've noticed it the most is in Vegas. If you drive outside of Vegas in the desert.
Oh, really?
I don't know what the deal is, but you will find those plastic, like grocery stores have the plastic bags, you know, that,
uh-huh.
that they put your groceries in. You'll find those things attached to, stuck to canvas and brush all along.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what the deal is out there, but yeah, you're all those things. That get you never know when they're going to happen. Oh yeah, I cut those rings that hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out here in Connecticut, we don't have plastic bags anymore. Those have been gone for quite a while.
Bravo, bravo.
Quite a while.
Yep.
So
anyway, these guys in Namibia do this thing, and it's addicting to watch, but it's also cool
sad.
Because.
Yeah, I don't think I could watch that. It'd make me too sad. I'd get too upset.
They save these seals one right after another.
I mean,
and
that's
these seals,
great and wonderful, yeah. but the watch I would be too, like, I couldn't be a veterinarian or anything because I would
yeah.
feel for the animals so much that it would wreck me.
Yeah,
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, this is just cool work that these guys do, and you know these seals just go bounding off all free from this stuff, bounding off
I
into
know.
The ocean. And you can tell some of them just had to be miserable. You know, bodies adapt, but after a while they can't hunt, they can't eat,
right.
can't breathe.
Just slowly starve.
Yeah. So it's so cool. But one of the things, and they have the tools that they have are amazing too. Like mainly they have these little pouches on their belts that have scissors and knives and stuff. In one of them, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. Because they have to get down and it gets so, like some of these strings get so far into the fur that to get them out is tough. One mm-hmm. of the guys pulled out and they I think they all carry crochet hooks.
Ah, yeah.
Because when he hauled that out to get, there was a line way, it was actually cut into the animal's muscle. And he had to dig the string out so they could cut it.
Right.
That's a crochet hook. There's no way.
Yeah.
What are they doing with it? You know, and then he dug it out and then he laid it down. And sure enough, it was a crochet hook because it was flat in the middle, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you would hold onto it. Yeah. So, and then another one had one too. So that's part of their arsenal.
Oh my gosh.
Is a crochet hook to help them dig these things out. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have crochet hooks that are tiny.
Yeah.
You know, that can. You know, it's not a big fat crochet hook. We're talking one of the really small ones to do your 30 weight,
uh-huh.
you know, basically thread, which yep. my grandma, I have some of my grandma's old stuff. And man, that crochet hook is small.
Well, it seemed like it was more of a middle sized one that they were using because
right.
it's fishing line and it's seals. So they don't
well,
need.
You could go tiny so yeah. that you could make the smallest amount of a puncture.
Yeah. But it was so cool that. That's a crochet hook, you know.
And oh my gosh!
Sure enough, that's what it was. But I just—if you can deal with it mentally,
yeah.
I appreciate that. But watch them on YouTube, Ocean Conservation Namibia. It's amazing work, and it will really give you an appreciation for the amount of trash that gets put into the environment and the damage
oh, yeah.
it does. These guys, it's just a tremendous work that they do. It's tireless. There's one where a guy was clearly out with his family, his kid and his wife, and must have been driving along the road, and he thought he saw a seal that was entangled in something, and he and his kid, you know, on a Sunday, you know, day off, went and chased down the seal, grabbed it, cut it free, and let it go. And, you know, it's just there's a real commitment there to these guys, and the system they have is so cool. They have these long funnel-shaped nets, and they put it over the seal's head, and then the seal makes his way all the way to the end of the net, and then there are zippers on two sides, and that allows them to unzip and then cut the whatever it is off of their neck or their shoulders or whatever, wherever it is, but keep their head in the snoot of the net so that they, because these seals don't know what's going on.
Right, and, so they don't get bitten.
Yeah, and those teeth.
And...
You could there's a couple times where those teeth, like, oh, whoa, I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah.
And then they can they can completely unzip. And sometimes if they have a really feisty one, they'll hook ropes onto the zippers so they can unzip from a distance. But, yeah, there's a real art to catching and helping these seals and then letting them free.
Oh, wow.
But it's really cool. And then, you know, these seals, a lot of them, you know, the stuff is cut into them. There's some that are infected. And the first one I saw, I thought, wait, what are they? You know, they can't just let these things free. They're infected. And they say repeatedly that when they go into the ocean, the salt water cleans out those wounds for them.
Yeah.
And then they heal up and they're fine.
Right.
So it's just one of the really cool things of all the flotsam and jetsam that's on YouTube. You know, it's just one of the really cool things. And crochet hooks, who knew?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
They're handy.
Yeah, very cool stuff that they do. And I really do. I think I'm going to send them some money just to support them. Yeah, it's neat stuff. So
nice.
All right, I think we're going to end it there. Yes, I guess we are, as I look at the old clockaroonie here.
Oh, okay. Has it been that long?
It has.
My goodness.
Yep. So join us tonight. We go to Sydney, Australia for the Festival of Goldwork exhibition with Catherine Gibson. That will be great fun. Gallery 76. And Sunday, Shana Ben-Hayoun, SBT Stitches. And remember, August 23 is when the book from Leslie... Ugh, I knew I was going to forget her name.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie... Threads of Awakening is the name of the book. That I got.
Right.
Where is... Oh, here it is right here. Ha-ha-ha-ha. Leslie Rinchen Wangmo. Threads of Awakening.
You're forgiven for not remembering. So.
Thank you. Threads of Awakening, her book, August 23. You can pre-order that now. Do get this book. It is really terrific. I've heard from several people who listened to the podcast and then saw the show last Wednesday, and that's another thing. Check out last Wednesday's show if you did not, the Stitch Hour, if you did not see when Leslie was with us and showed us how all those things are put together. Just a really, really neat textile art.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Pre-order that book.
It's very neat.
Yep, so you get it. August 23 is when it comes out, because it is a world that we just don't get to encounter. So,
yeah.
Cool stuff.
Goodness.
All right, that's it.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.